Radio Dale may contain swears, unnecessary thunderclaps, and information that can help independent musicians further their careers. You have been warned.
Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Rue.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
I want food, not lettuce and chicken.
Welcome to Radio Dale number 55.
This week in music history, Tommy Lee punches someone in the face.
This week on Who Charted, new bands on the campus charts.
Rue's tip of the week, think outside the music.
In our roundtable, it's part two of our conversation about how to rescue radio.
And to close thing out, we're doing a way back playback from this week in 2011, Alexis on Fire, The Dead Heart.
Yay! Let's just get right into it. This week in music history.
Yes.
Bam.
A historical week this was. January 23rd, 1990. David Bowie announced his forthcoming and final world tour, Sound and Vision. I had to say it epically. Sound and Vision. During which he will invite each local audience to decide on a greatest hits running order organized through local radio stations.
Neat.
Yeah.
It was so like the internet before the internet.
Basically. So instead of him tweeting, what song should I play? He had to go through radio stations. Which I think is a neat idea and should be existing
today. There's no reason why you can't do that still.
Yeah, new or older. Like new or someone who's retiring.
Mm-hmm. Retiring. Quotes.
Yeah, and then David Bowie shocked us all.
His latest album, 23 years later, he releases a new album?
Silly.
David. January 24th, 1941, born on this day, Neil Diamond, singer and songwriter.
You bet your balls it's Neil Diamond.
Whoa.
Do you know that? No? Will Ferrell?
I don't know that.
Anyone?
I don't know that.
No.
Know
okay. That.
January 25th, 2011, a former Miss Canada finalist became the first person in the world to graduate with a master's degree in the Beatles.
Oh, good for her.
Canadian singer Mary Lou Zahalan Kennedy, 53, was one of the first students to sign up for the course on the Fab Four when it launched at Liverpool Hope University in March 2009.
Hmm.
There's a course on the Beatles at U of T.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's very popular.
Popular.
Yeah.
I guess they did a lot of stuff in there. What was actually a pretty short tenure.
Well, basically, so here it says, the course is examining the significance of the music of the Beatles and their impact on Western culture, because everyone is inspired by the Beatles.
Not me.
Well, not me, but, we can categorize, generalize, and say everybody. I hate them. No, I'm joking. January 26, 1963, the Rooftop Singers started a two-week run on the death. January 26, 1963, the Rooftop Singers started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Walk Right In,
oh, nice.
Sit Right Down,
do-do-do-do-do-do.
I don't know the rest of it.
I like it.
It was on the Forrest Gump soundtrack.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Fun fact.
January 27th, 1977, The Clash signed to CBS Records in the U.K. for £100,000.
Ooh!
A lot of pounds.
That's a lot of pounds.
January 28th, 1984, backstage after a Motley Crue show in Buffalo, Tommy Lee found out that his girlfriend had posed for the current issue of Penthouse magazine without his knowledge after a fan passes comment on the pictures. Tommy punched the fan unconscious with one hit, and their manager, Doug Thaler, convinced the fan not to press any charges.
I wonder what he did.
They were wild. Now, if anyone is a Motley Crue fan, since we have now mentioned them several times on the show, there is a Motley Crue announcement coming out in a few days, and many predict that they're going to announce their last tour ever.
Just like David Bowie.
Because they said they don't want to do that.
But a lot of people don't want to.
But they also have a 65-year-old guitar player who can barely stand up. So.
So they...
Wheelchair.
They're saying this is it. Well, yeah. But has it been announced? Or is it all rumors?
It's been hinted. Nikki Sixx has hinted before. He's like, we're not going to, be one of those bands that says...
They're actually...
It's
they
our farewell and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. And their last new album was 2008, so it doesn't look... Unless there's... It's in the...
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. the retirement album.
The retirement album. Ba-ba-ba. The last album and the last tour. That would be exciting.
Last everything. Last heroin. They just binge. Like bring up the heroin and the drugs and the booze. The hookers. Moving on. January 29th, 1979. 16-year-old Brenda Spencer killed two people and wounded nine others when she fired from her house across the street onto the entrance of San Diego's Grover Cleveland Elementary School. Spencer fired the shots from a .22 caliber rifle, her father had given for her for Christmas. When asked why she did it, she answered, "I don't like Mondays." The Boomtown Rats went on to write and recorded a song based on the event. Sing it, Rue.
Tell me why I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why
I don't like Mondays. I love celebrating stuff like that.
Yeah. Really, that's a horrible, horrible thing. Yes. But it's cool stuff.
And that has been this week in music history. We hope you have a musically historical week, but we're not stopping here. It's time for Who Charted?
I still can't India. Say it. Okay, so this week we're looking at artists that just had releases in January of this year and are just now starting to get on the earshot charts. So the first one is number 8, Blackie and the Rodeo Kings. They have a new album out called South. Number 9, the Silver Mount Zion Memorial Orchestra. This is a mouthful of an album title. Fuck Off, Get Free, We Pour Light on Everything.
Ooh, I want to listen to this.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Number 11, The Pack AD.
Oh,
new
good.
Album, Do Not Engage. Number 17, Fred Eaglesmith, Tambourine. Number 26, Damien Jurado, Brothers and Sisters of the Eternal Sun.
I like that.
Isn't that so pretty?
It's like really cheesy, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Number 29, Hagface. Hagface.
Hagface.
Yep. Number 33, The Balconies. They have a new album out called Fast Motion.
Oh.
And that's streaming on CBC Music right now. I just listened to the first song, and I love it.
It's
fantastic. Good. Yeah. Number 36, Yoko Ono, Plastic Ono Band, Take Me to the Land of Hell.
That's Canadian?
No.
Oh, it's new.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just new.
Now I've clued in.
Yeah. Number 39, Cheap Time, Exit Smiles. Number 42, Cur de Perrot, Trauma.
Nice.
And the last one on the list, number 46, Greg Reckus, Punkoustic.
That's a lot of new albums that showed up.
It's 11 out of 50.
Is that normal for
new.
That many new records? Or
It's not unnormal.
Yeah.
Normal?
Abnormal.
Thank you.
I like unnormal. That could be an album title.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
It was good. There were a lot of good, sort of more established Canadian ones like The Balconies, The Pack AD, and Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, and Cur de Perrot.
Nice.
I'm sure that they'll be up the charts even more, and we'll hear them more.
Lots of buzz people and people I've never, ever, ever heard of, but that doesn't mean anything.
We should check
hag
them
face.
Out.
Hagface.
Hagface.
Hashtag.
Will you have some hag on your face?
You have a hag face.
Oh,
you're
that was
hag.
Offensive. And that has been Who Charted? Okay, and now it's time for my 60-second tip of the week. This one might actually go faster than 60 seconds. We'll see.
Oh.
I may have to slow down because there's just so much information packed tight. Starting now, do you have creative skills outside of music that you could use to promote yourself and, as a result, promote your music? Here are some examples for things you could possibly do. For instance, we used to work with a guy named Mika Barnes. He's a talent performer. He's also a vocal and career coach. And a couple of years ago, we created a short series of videos with vocal warm-ups so singers could practice through YouTube. And it helped people for free, but also spread the word about his music.
Music.
That sounded weird. Do you have a skill with video editing? You could make short videos for your new songs or a consistent video blog following your songwriting or your recording or your touring. Are you a cartoonist? You could start a regular webcomic documenting your career as a musician. Or writers can write blogs. Dancers can teach steps through video tutorials. If you know yoga, maybe you could start a series to help musicians focus before a show.
Interesting.
Your music is just a part of your plan you can use to promote yourself. So show off all your skills and take some time to think outside the music. That was the most scripted one I've done so far, but that was it.
Can I add something?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because you said, are you a cartoonist?
Yeah.
And that reminded me, I just watched the CBGB movie, a few weeks ago. But the guy who was the editor and the creator of it, he was like a comic a cartoon comic, you know, illustrator.
Yeah.
And so he created Punk Magazine because he loved music, but all of the illustrations, like, they were in comic cartoon
form. Cool.
So I thought that was a fun way to
tie
things in.
Kid Koala also does that. He does comic books for all of his releases.
Oh, cool.
Cool. I like it.
And now it's time for our roundtable, which continues our conversation from episode 54, where we talk about the article by Doc Searles called How to Rescue Radio. And this is the second half. I think we get a bit more technical here.
Yes, and it took a lot of research for me personally.
Especially I as well. So here we go, the second part of that conversation on Radio Dale. Now, with the rest of his article, he gets into some pretty technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about things like app developers. For instance, Stitcher Radio, Stitcher Smart Radio, where you can listen to the Radio Dale podcast. And you might be listening right now, is like a aggregator of podcasts where you can go there and flip through based on subject, based on anything like that, find other podcasts similar to ones that you like to listen to. That kind of thing, if you could find some way to integrate that into radio, that would be really interesting, because then you might listen to The Peak and you'd be able to find three other stations that are similar to The Peak.
Right.
Because even if they're in the same format or same genre, there's enough variation between stations that listening to one alternative station and then another one, you might hear completely different kinds of music, mm-hmm. which you know more about than I do.
We all know the same.
And gets into a lot of things like about, again, he's back to the idea of wanting the knobs and dials of radio involved with apps. I'd be interested in hearing what listeners think about that, if they want to go back to a traditional look.
Like, so within my cell phone?
Yeah, your radio program would actually look like a proper radio dial.
No. I just want... I don't, like you were saying before, I don't like that stuff. I just need it to be... I want it to look fresh and clean. If this is a new thing, I want it to look new.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also says, improve the old. So manufacturers of, like, stereos need to make better equipment. And I think we all own radios that don't work.
Yeah.
Because they're cheap. And they need to... If you want people to listen to terrestrial radio, like, I, you know, I can stream online and look at all the extra stuff. That's cool. But if I don't want to use my computer battery, then...
Or he does internet.
He makes a really interesting point about quit making... Are we swearing this season?
Charty.
Quit mating charty radios.
Mating?
He said mating.
I'm really dirty today, and I don't even think I'm doing it. What's on my mind? The receiving circuitry and antennas for most home radios are awful, and it's true, because I used to have this little radio, and it picked up shortwave. I could listen to Australia on my radio, and it cost like $50. I have a hard time picking up stations just outside of Toronto on some radios. And it's just an antenna. So, like, it's the even all the way down... We talked sort of technical about the actual transmission of radio.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the programming on radio, but all the way down to the antennas and radios that you buy. Maybe people are getting turned off of radio because they can't find a good radio to listen.
That's true.
I feel,
I'm frustrated with mine at home. I live in a condo, and it's in a certain part of my condo. It has this... string of an antenna, and for me to tune into a station that I can get perfectly well in a car, I can't in my house. It has to be, like, taped and tied around something in a perfect spot, and if I go to stand somewhere in my house, it'll go fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very frustrating that there's a station within the reach. For whatever reason, my stereo cannot get it.
Yeah.
And that's driving me crazy.
A couple of other interesting factoids that sort of came out of our discussion and our looking into this is different radio broadcasting types. We, who work with radio, didn't even know really existed.
Because
they aren't here in Canada, and they had never really even caught on overseas. But it's interesting to look at where things could possibly go.
Mm-hmm.
One is DAB, which stands for...
Digital Audio Broadcasting.
Yes. Now, it sort of was there to replace FM. It goes on, it broadcasts an MP2. Now, if you think of it, we listen to MP3s, and you can also get MP4s. So it's bad audio quality, but the idea was that it was sort of an option to replace FM and AM radio. Mm-hmm. They now have something called DAB Plus. You'll see they add plus to things to say it's better, with better audio quality. There's also DRM, which is Digital Radio Mondial. This did not take on either, but it's take off either, but it was really interesting. It allowed you to have high quality audio on AM and shortwave. So you could have FM sounding radio on AM radio.
And you know what? We were talking about this earlier, and I can understand why that one didn't really take off.
Mm-hmm.
Only because AM radio, to change over an entire system mm-hmm. of how we listen and whatever radio stations would have to go through and what we would have to go through as consumers to improve AM radio. When I listen to AM radio, I'm not worried about the quality.
Yeah, you're just listening for the talk.
For the facts. I'm there for 680 News. Yeah. I'm there for the
sports.
Mike's there, my fiance, for the sports. And mm. I'm not concerned that I'm listening and going, well, like, what? Why does it sound so weird? So I understand that the bigger concern would be FM radio, because when it comes to quality, we want the music to sound good. Now, I know there's AM country stations and stuff like that, but I was kind of laughing yesterday. We were listening to an AM country station, and the music that they play, which is typically a lot of classic country or mm-hmm. classic songs are in the AM dial, it almost suited
it sounds the low amazing. Quality
sound.
It sounds amazing.
Like when I hear a really classic country song or an oldies Elvis tune, for some reason when I hear it on AM, it just sounds right.
Yeah. So it's almost like you should take over AM dial, not mess with it with the DRM or anything like that, but make it this like whole collection of awesome talk and oldies and the music that sounds good on it. Blues sounds good on AM. Jazz
sounds
good on AM.
It's kind of like you listen to your vinyl record or something in a way. Like, but I think that's why the focus on FM is so important, because that's where the majority of the people listeners are.
Mark Ramsey, who we have discussed, he wrote an article that we kind of looked at as well, and he actually had a conversation with Doc Searles.
Yes.
Now, earlier on, he wrote an article about what to do with AM, and I had replied to him. I had said it would be neat if there was an AM station that played podcasts or had locals, basically like a community station where people came in with an hour or 2 hour slots, and they essentially did the equivalent of podcasting on air.
Mm-hmm.
And his reply was, well, why wouldn't you just make a podcast? Where, I just kind of find it interesting, like there's this band, pretty big band, that is nearly empty right now, that communities could take over and have their own station.
Yeah.
You could have like the local geek station, like a local geek station where it's just all talk about geek stuff. And people could tune into it. It sort of seems to me like it's a bit of a lost possibility.
And his point to you is, why not just make that a podcast and screw trying to get onto the EM? Yeah.
Which is funny, because he's sort of looking more to the future than me, which normally I try to do, where I see it as there's this really cool opportunity for people to broadcast. Because there's a big difference between broadcasting and a podcast. I make a podcast in my little studio at home. I put it online, I go like that, and I just broadcast it. But when you're actually sitting at a microphone and know it's going out over the air,
mm-hmm.
it's a totally different feeling. You feel like you're achieving something mm-hmm. a bit more exciting, even if I'm broadcasting to 10 people on AM, but my podcast gets 1,000 downloads.
I think it's because you never know, like, when you're broadcasting, who might mm-hmm. listen in, who's turning the dial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in the now. It's that moment where a podcast, you have to kind of go find it.
It's like the difference between making a movie and acting on stage.
Yeah.
Interesting. One last quick factoid. As of October 2013, there has been no real HD radio in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the original conversation about HD. However, at this point, 84% of the U.S. is broadcasting in HD. That is 1,900 stations. 1,000 of them are using something we didn't touch on called multicast channels, which means you could tune into a station, and that station could have three channels. Imagine tuning into 88.1, and 88.1 HD1 broadcast classic rock, HD2 broadcast AC, and HD3 was talk radio, all on the same station. Mm-hmm. One station could broadcast three completely different kinds of programs.
So it's kind of like going to CBC Music and listening to all their different streams or their shows.
And basically, with, I think it was DAB or DAB Plus, they would allow like 9 or 12 channels on one station.
But at a lower quality.
At a lower audio quality, yeah.
Then you would have like three times the amount of stations if every station.
That
did
would
that.
Almost seem to be too much.
Yeah. It almost seems too much. I do like the idea of HD radio, that if, for as an example, a rock station could have a classic rock and alternative rock and say an active rock,
that's
separate
cool.
channels on one station, so you could choose to tune in to whichever one you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds a lot more like internet radio, but it is potentially a way that would help rescue radio, is having more variety on one station.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess, let's say a station like Indie 88 gets... We're HD in Canada now, let's say.
Yeah.
Indie 88 implements classic rock and grunge rock.
Yes.
What happens to a station like Y108 or Q107 where they're classic rock? What do they implement an alternative rock and have basically have the same thing? So they... That you got to start thinking about how... How are they going to differentiate
themselves? You would have to just have one station per format, per big format, per market.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the alt station and the rock station would become one and be under the same.
And that's where it's going to get interesting.
An indie station could have a AAA, which we don't have in Toronto. They do have in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And could have a station dedicated to 100% indie bands from Toronto.
Yeah.
I would love
like that.
Actually, if I listened to a station and I was like, if I want my classic rock song, I go here. If I want a rock song from now, I go here. If I want an indie song, I go here.
Yeah.
That would be the best of all worlds.
And then
really.
There'd be more room. So if you had a
everyone
new rock,
could play,
one of your channels was new rock, instead of only having so many spots for current Canadian songs, they would have an entire day.
Yeah.
They could fill with music.
Which I think would be cool.
Yeah. Now, and the other thing, too, I was reading about was some of these formats may mean that some restrictions may be limited. So how's CanCon going to be affected in all of this? I'm sure the CRTC will make, it needs to be there, but how and where, and those are the other things they have to think about, too. If a station's going to have three different things going on at one time, how's CanCon work into there? It may be a simple answer. I have no idea. But
so some interesting challenges.
Yes.
But the overall look seems to be that there are opportunities for radio to improve itself. If radio indeed needs to be improved.
Yeah. it's everything always needs to be improved. But as we've discussed in many podcasts, the introduction of new things like streaming radio services, radio is being challenged, specifically in cars.
Yeah.
Where now these major companies like Spotify and Pandora and things like that are making deals with car companies that they're already, when you purchase a car, they're already available.
Yeah.
So radio has to do something.
Yeah.
Terrestrial radio has to do something. Be more interesting, be more personable, create
personalities.
Yeah, create content, create personalities.
Yeah. And embrace
programming.
Yeah.
The power of programming, really, instead of just...
Yeah.
Because
like
what we keep hearing is...
The same.
It's about programming, not formats.
Yeah.
Which is scary for us.
Yeah. And that's sort of like, this is, we said during the 2014 episode, the most recent episode, that the theme seems to be everything's getting shaken up. And that's even a bit of a shake up for us. To say programming, not formatting. So we'll see how that plays through the year. And we'll keep an eye on this and maybe do some follow-ups in future. There's Amber farting again, which must mean it's the end of the roundtable.
That's how you signal when you have to edit.
Oh, use a fart noise?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Sounds good. All right. And that has been the roundtable, which means this is the end of Radio DL number 55. My name is Rue.
I'm Amber.
I'm India.
Because we keep forgetting to start off the show that way. And if you would like to find us, head over to dalespeaking.com you can pretty much find everything from there. Links to podcasts, to videos, to our all of our blogs are there. And you can find out more about Dale Speaking. Does anybody have any last words before we move on to the song?
I am shocked by how much I like the new Beyonce and Jay-Z song. I'm not like, oh my God, it's groundbreaking, but yeah. I usually, Beyonce I'm hot and cold with, and it's actually really cool.
Any songs shocked you recently that you like?
Shocked me? I like the new One Republic song. That doesn't shock me. I just really love it.
Yeah, it's on the radio lots.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think I have any shocking songs.
Nothing shocked.
Oh, that Vegas thing was pretty catchy. What's the name of that? Virginia to Vegas?
Virginia to Vegas.
Out of Nowhere.
I don't remember the name of the song. Oh, maybe it's
I just know it's catchy every time I hear it.
Look up Virginia to Vegas.
Check it out. Toronto based. I believe Toronto-based, and Out of Nowhere. That's all I can say about that artist. So, now it's time to play the song. Who would like to introduce it?
Amber can.
Well, the song that we have for you this week is a Wayback Playback, and it is from the late... How do I want to say it? The lately departed.
departed.
I don't know how to say the recently retired Alexis on Fire. Mm. And that makes me sad to say. We had the pleasure of working with Alexis on Fair... Alexis on Fire.
Ah.
On various singles and albums. And one of these singles was The Dead Heart, which is a cover of Midnight Oil,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And it was a song that Dale actually recommended we use as a single. And it actually became their highest charting rock song. So it was charting this time... the week of January...
2011.
In January 2011, it was charting on Canadian rock radio. So we thought we'd give it a spin on Radio Dale.
Yay!
Radio Dale, Radio Dale.
We don't actually play it, we just sing it.
Okay, let me think of the beginning.
Don't sell your... Don't sell your king.
We were.